College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Nagandi.
I'm ready for week six. And, you know, that gets us one step closer to week seven. I've had October 12th circled for 6 weeks. Cannot wait for those matchups. But before then, I have a feeling that this is a weekend we're going to see an upset go down somewhere. I don't know how that's going to play out in Gainesville when Florida hosts Auburn. That's where David Pollock joins us as game day's on the road, getting you set for that matchup in the SEC. And Pollock, Friday is all about our picks. And let me tell you, I am never, ever picking Washington State again with Mike Leach, especially after that performance. And then afterwards, he throws his kids under the bus. Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. Why should we ever throw our kids under the bus when they stink? I mean, we should tell them that it wasn't their fault. It was all the coach's fault.
No.
About it. Yeah.
Spoken like a true coach of 10 and 12-year-olds. Don't blame the coach. Blame the kids and their performances. All right. So we've been lockstep. You went undefeated last week. We'll just get that on the record, okay? My only loss was the Washington State game, and we'll get back on track here and make some picks here in these contests. And I want to start with a Friday game, which earlier in the season, as it was developing, you circled because you're like, oh, man, this could be a huge showdown, not just in the American, but for the group of five with Central Florida on the road at Cincinnati. Who do you got in this matchup?
It's really weird, man. I haven't heard from Central Florida people in a while. They were really, banging the drum, and I was hearing about the Central Florida people. They were lighting up my inbox on Twitter, and then
yep.
Nothing.
By the way, at David Pollock 47, if you guys, Knight fans, want to just chime in right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just strange. I haven't heard of them since they lost that 1-2 team Pitt that they faced, that Power 5 team they faced. And since the Herbie jumped on the bandwagon, I think the bandwagon crashed as soon as he jumped on it. But listen, I think this is going to be a fun game. You know, I think Cincinnati's a team that's always very physical. You know, they've always been that way. I love the way Luke Fickell coaches his team. They're going to run the football. They don't make any bones about it. Like, there is no secret sauce, man. And so can UCF match that physicality? Can they bring it? Listen, everybody likes what we see from UCF and their offense and scoring points, but you saw against Pitt, their defense really let them down. This won't be the same attack that Pitt had, and they won't throw the ball as many times, but just physically, are they going to be ready to play and meet a physical test with Cincinnati?
They're 4-point favorites. Who you got in this matchup?
I'll take UCF. I think in the end, speed, in the end, deep balls, making plays way down the field. It's just so much easier for them to come by points as opposed to UC. UC is literally an efficient team and bring two tight ends in the game, hit you in the mouth kind of a team. And mm-hmm. I just think Central Florida can get enough stops. I don't know if they'll have an answer for the speed and the deep ball and big plays down the field. They'll hit a few of those, which will lead to big scores, and I don't know if UC can continue to answer.
I'm with you. I think UCF will win the game. They just have too many options and the ability to score and score and score again. It's going to be physical. They're on the road, which I find interesting, but I'm still a believer in the Knights and that offense, and I really like their weapons. We'll be back in a minute as Pollock previews Iowa versus Michigan. I got a big score to settle with him, but first a word from Allstate. Because mayhem on Saturdays in the fall is inevitable. Mayhem happens on the field, off the field, and in the polls. Mayhem lives on the wind, in the rain, on the foot of an errant kick, and during a trap game. You'll find mayhem in the parking lot, during tailgates, charcoal that's not totally out, an errant football through a window, a flat tire, a lost side view mirror, etc. You get the point. Allstate protects you from mayhem in the parking lot and outside it, at home and away. You can't stop mayhem from happening, but you can get better protected from it with Allstate. The potential for mayhem during the playoff race is rampant. Underdogs, trap games, unexpected weather, etc., etc., etc. Get better protected from mayhem with Allstate. Contact your local Allstate agent today. Now back to the show. All right, our next matchup will be really interesting because Michigan, when you put up over 50 because you play Rutgers, it's one of those, hey, we need to rebuild our confidence. Now in the big house against Iowa, an Iowa team coming in undefeated.
I want to know who Kevin has in this game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, first off, Michigan's favored by 3.5 points. I am going with Iowa. I'm going with Nate Stanley and something I know no matter what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a consistent quarterback. And that's the one thing the Hawkeyes have that Michigan does not have. And also ball control. So I'm going with Kirk Ferentz and this Iowa team against Michigan.
Oh, I love picking up a game early where you're wrong. That's beautiful. I'm going with Michigan. With Michigan. What's wrong with Michigan? So much wrong with Michigan. They suck. Let's fire everybody. Woo! What does Herman say? Let's circle the wagons, baby. I think Michigan will play good. I think they'll play good at home. I think they'll run. I think they're going to get back to being a little bit more of who they are physically, and I think they're going to try to run better run plays, and they're going to run. They're not going to waste as many run plays. I think you'll see less RPOs with this offense. I think you'll see a better train of thought now, and I think Michigan, after having a week off, I think they'll be ready to roll. I'll be honest. I don't think Iowa's a dominant team by any stretch.
No, not
Iowa
at all.
Iowa State thoroughly whipped Iowa. They just couldn't. They didn't take care of the ball. They didn't make enough plays in the end. They didn't make plays that were there to be made. They could have had an interception late in that game that would have been huge. The return, obviously, that bounces off, you know, their own guy that doesn't give Purdy the ball late. I don't think Michigan's a great team by any stretch. I think they'll be better than Iowa at home with everybody dogging them.
You said something really important there, though. You mentioned Brock Purdy for Iowa State. You mentioned a playmaker at quarterback. Shea Patterson has given us nothing to feel like he's a playmaker. Do you believe in him? That's why, that to me, when you look at these matchups, I go with Nate Stanley just because I know what I'm getting. No matter what, I have no idea what I'm getting from Shea Patterson and this Michigan offense. I still don't know, because you can't use Rutgers as a measuring stick. Suddenly he looks confident. He's running around. That can boost you and make you feel good, but what's it going to be like when you're facing a team that's going to punch you back? And Shea Patterson, when he gets punched and he starts to see, you know, some multiple looks and he's trying to scramble around, he tries to do too much and he forces the ball. And that's why I go with a team like Iowa. They're not going to make the mistakes that we've seen Michigan make mistakes week in and week out all season.
You know, it's not going to continue to happen either, though. Michigan's not going to continue to fumble the ball so much.
That's huge.
You know, that will even out. Like the turnover game, a lot of that has to do with not the throw game all the time, but a lot of the fumble game has to do with luck. And remember what happened too in the Wisconsin games. You go back and you really watch that tape. Listen, they got owned. There's no way around that. But you know, they're driving down to go score in the red zone and they fumble the ball in the first possession. And next thing you know, they're down 14 and then the score gets out of hand. And now Michigan's out of hand. Michigan's not a team that's going to go out and throw the football, I think, effectively. If that's their main thing, that's not going to be good for them. You know, I think they're going to get receivers back healthy. They had a week off. I think they're going to be, and if they've already had their bye week, I think they have a situation where we'll start to see the offense come together. Last year, early in the season, they struggled. I think they'll know who they are a little bit better. And by the way, you're also making it sound like Nate Stanley's some kind of Heisman Trophy.
No, I'm not.
I know what you know what I'm getting from Nate Stanley? I'm getting consistency, but I'm not getting consistent greatness.
But you don't need to be great. You don't need to be great to beat Michigan right now. You need a quarterback that's going to make a couple plays and not make mistakes. And that's what Nate Stanley is, right?
You're 0-1, Kevin. You're 0-1. Go on to the next game, bro.
Okay. We'll see how that plays out. I can't wait. I'm a huge Hawkeye fan this weekend. All right. All right. Another matchup in the Big Ten. It's a primetime game. Michigan State on the road at Ohio State, and Ohio State favored by 20 points, and Michigan State in
20 points.
Yeah. That's too high for you. What do you think?
No, I mean, I'm not a gambler. I don't know how that crap works, and I'm not really like good with the numbers.
I'm not asking for gambling advice, but your first reaction was, my goodness, that's a lot of points. Is that too high?
Well, I think I watched Michigan State's defense against Indiana last week, and after watching that, it gives you pause for concern. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because their defense, they really struggled in the bubble game. They really struggled in the quick throws and stopping Indiana. Indiana did a great job with the quick passes, and you could tell Michigan State didn't really have any answers. And then also, they went with the slant, you know, the slot fades and started hitting some deep balls down the field. I don't think this Michigan State defense is good enough to keep up with Justin Fields and company. And what I've seen from this Ohio State defense is so daggum good. So I would lean towards the last two seasons. The last two seasons, Ohio State and Michigan State have played, it ain't been pretty. And if Ohio State plays like that and continues to take care of the football, listen, Ohio State do one of these games where they're going to turn the football over and make a few mistakes. They're not going to play perfect the whole season long. That just doesn't happen. And maybe Michigan State can force some of that, but the depth for four quarters, Ohio State has a lot more. Ohio State will win the ball.
Pollack, help me understand this, because obviously your ties to the Georgia program, you watched it closely, you've been to practices. What is Justin Fields doing differently in Ryan Day's offense compared to what he did last year at Georgia? And granted, I know different reps and all that, but what is different?
No, it's not different reps. It's totally different offense.
What is he doing differently that they are maximizing his talent that they couldn't do it at Georgia?
Everything about Ohio State's offense is night and day different than what you're doing at Georgia. Georgia, you're asked to be a quarterback that's literally going to hand the football off and play action and go through progressions one, two, three, see the whole field. Ryan Day ain't asking Fields to do that, not in any way, shape, or form. Ryan Day is going to do a great job of scheming offense, of running the zone read ad nauseum, by the way. Run the zone read over and over again. Guess what happens, Kevin, when I get reps doing the same thing over and over again? I get good at it. Mm-hmm. I get better at it. And I continue to – they're using his athleticism phenomenally well. Justin Fields is a phenomenal talent. He just never was a really good fit for Georgia's offense as currently constructed. If you shift and went to more Ryan Day, he's the perfect type of quarterback. Ryan Day and him together are a great match. If he was still at Georgia, he'd be on the bench. I mean, I think it's just not his type of offense. He needed to be with Ryan Day.
Needed to be with Ryan Day. Is this the perfect fit when you talk about coach and quarterback?
Perfect. I mean, it's perfect fit. Now, listen, I think Ryan Day is good enough that he can morph with any quarterback, and a la Dwayne Haskins a year ago throwing for 17,000 yards in a season. I mean, he just used the weapons that he had. But just if you go back and watch the Nebraska game, I think it was the first quarter, maybe early second quarter, and it was third down, and you see Ohio State line up, and Nebraska is a big, you know, man coverage team on third down. Big man, they want to play man. That's what they want to do. Unbelievable job. Like, what does Ryan Day do? Doesn't ask Justin Fields to make a throw in a tight window. Motions his receiver into the boundary all the way to the other side of the field. Nebraska chases him, and they run a quarterback run right where the guy was. Mm-hmm. No forced player whatsoever. Your corner's gone. No help on the outside. Just unbelievable scheme. Knowing exactly what you're going to get and attacking it. And that's what makes Ryan Day so daggum special.
All right, let's continue our picks here. Good information. Entertaining. And let's go to the matchup in the Big 12, because the word entertaining will be used, I think, several times when you're watching this shootout. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Who you got?
Oh, God. Is this a debate? I mean, this is a beatdown.
Well, I was going to say that. Is Oklahoma State going to score 60 points in this one?
16. No, Texas Tech's defense. No, they just gave up 50 to Oklahoma. So you probably say, the defense isn't playing great. But, listen, here's what you need to know about. Here's what I like about when I start looking at Oklahoma State. First of all, when you start mentioning a running back and you start putting him in the category of Barry Sanders.
Yep.
And you start putting him in the category of Thurman Thomas.
Yep.
The dude's doing something really good.
Chuba.
Okay?
Chuba's the man. Yep.
Yes. Chuba Hubbard can make big plays all over the field. Another 200-plus yard game. 296, I think, against Kansas State this past week. So that's over 200-yard games already in the season. He's just and if I got to spin it to the other side, I'm talking about playing against Jet Duffy and a Texas Tech offense. Listen, there's a lot of things that are disappointing about the Texas Tech offense. And listen, Bowman gets hurt at quarterback and blah, blah, blah. Their offensive line brought a lot of starters back and was supposed to be one of the strong points of their team. It is not. It's not been a strength at all. I would challenge those guys like crazy. Listen, I know our quarterback's hurt, blah, blah, blah. I need more from you in the pass protection, in the run game. I haven't seen – this is not Cliff Kingsbury's offense. This is totally different, and they don't have a good offensive line up front with good enough QB play and play around the QB to get in a shootout with Oklahoma State.
His numbers, by the way, Chuba and what he's done so far, started off the season against Oregon State with 221. McNeese, he was held to 44 yards, but they were winning 56-14. Then 256 against Tulsa, 121 against Texas, 296 against Kansas State. And And then you get into conversation, is he one of the best players in the country? And unfortunately, the way we look at and value running backs, it has changed so much in the last 10 years. Hubbard, 10 years ago, would be the hottest topic, right? Like, hey, the running back, look what Hubbard's doing. I mean, the next closest guy is nearly 300 yards away from him in rushing yards. That's how good he is.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is the next closest guy, I think, and it's way down the list.
Yeah.
I mean, way down there. So, yeah, I get it. But listen, I think the Heisman Trophy has been more, it's morphed more into you have to be on a great team. Like, you have to be on a team that's in championship contention. And Oklahoma State's not out of that yet. What if they go beat Oklahoma?
Yeah.
And Chuba has a great day. I don't think he's out of the Heisman race. He just needs a stage to announce to everybody, like, hey, bro, I just put up 250 against Oklahoma. How do you like them out?
Okay, so aside from our picks, we're going to put them on hold right now because you gave me a little fork in the road. I want to go down this road a little bit then. Who's in your Heisman top three?
Top three, right now you got to have Tua. Tua's 1,000% in the mix, and if you're watching what he's doing, the words speak for himself. I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, unreal. Justin Fields has to be in the conversation for doing it with his feet and with his arm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's carrying that team offensively with what he can do, shapes it, and his numbers obviously are gross. And then I think you got to go Jalen Hurts right now as the next guy, just because he's putting up stupid, silly numbers. And it's not against good comp, and I want to see it against – he's a tough study, by the way. When I try to study Jalen Hurts and I try to say, okay, what kind of quarterback is he – how good could he be at the next level? He doesn't have to make any tight window throws right now. Everything's so simple with the offense and the weapons and the way Lincoln Riley calls everything. It's stealing. It's so easy for him right now. But and Joe Burrow needs to be in the conversation as well, by the way. He's very much, you know, what he did at Texas, he's been the main cog in the team. I mean, he is the reason if they're not running the football at all, hardly. He's the reason that they're where they're at. And you saw it against Texas going kick to that. He does that against Alabama. Woo,
yeah. Yeah. And again, we're 6 weeks into it. There's a reason why I only gave you three, because I wanted to see where you're going to have Fields, Hurts, and Burrow outside of Tua. So who's number one? Because you just mentioned four guys. Who's your number one guy? Is it Tua right now?
The good thing is it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but we're talking about it. So I want to know who would it be?
Okay. It doesn't matter, but if I have to give you one right now,
yes.
I'll give you Joe Burrow. How about that?
Oh, okay. You'd be giving because Burrow in the competition by playing Texas, like wow.
I think it's the best win of the season so far. Having to go to a hostile environment, play a really good top 10 team on the road, and not do it like with okay numbers.
Yeah,
if you took him off the team would sputter and probably get drummed. But he literally carried his team to a victory. So I could care less who the winner is right now. It means absolutely nothing. But if you want to leave here, I'll give you Joe Burrow.
It means nothing. But we're just talking. We're spitballing
just
here.
Conversation. Here.
I go with Jalen Hurts, and I understand he hasn't played any competition. But my goodness, the numbers are so ridiculous when you see it. And then, you know, he's nearly 500 yards in the third quarter. And they're like, yeah, we've seen enough. We're going to rush you. And you're like, good gosh, this guy could have gone for 600. Yeah,
I know that
total.
That competition has really moved the meter.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, that's the point.
You're a big competition guy. I know.
See, the minute I make a suggestion, it's the competition. Back to our picks, because I think we're both lockstep there with Oklahoma State. We'll be back in a minute with more from Pollock on why Cal versus Oregon could play a role for Justin Herbert in the NFL. But first, a word from Dollar Shave Club. When I talk about Dollar Shave Club, I can't stress enough about the quality of their products. They've spent years developing, crafting, refining everything. They have everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You name it, they have it. And as amazing as their shave stuff is, Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has you covered head to toe. They have everything you need to shower, shave, style your hair, and brush your teeth. And Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stocked up on the products you use. You get what you want whenever you need it, whether that's once a month or a few times a year. I never have to waste time at a store wondering if what I'm getting is any good. As a Dollar Shave Club member, you know what you're getting is the highest quality. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test. Their Ultimate Shave Starter Set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor, Shave Butter, Prep Scrub, and Post Shave Do. The best part is, you could try it for just $5. After that, the restock box ships regularly sized products at regular prices. Get your ultimate starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/ESPNCFP. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ESPNCFP. Now back to the show. How about Cal at Oregon?
This series has been about as one-sided as it possibly can get, hasn't it? I mean,
yep.
Oregon is absolutely owned Cal. Garver's going down Friday night. You want to talk about second half, the first half differences without him, the offense. I mean, Cal had kind of, I think Cal had actually turned the corner and kind of found themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, credit to them. They had really done that. But I think they can still make it interesting. But, you know, Devon Monster comes in the game and struggles. You know, it just doesn't look the same. And, you know, I think, God, I think in the fourth quarter they had 11 yards.
Yeah.
And something like that. And they try to just run the football every time. But Cal's not built for that either. But Chris Miles is a good running back. He's a big physical kid. But I just don't know how they go tick for tack with Oregon. But I do think that they can limit I think they can limit Justin Herbert. And I think it'll be fun to watch that secondary versus Justin Herbert. Not for college football Saturday, but for Sunday.
100%.
The Sunday conversation. And that's the whole reason
yep.
why I would literally watch this game is how much has he improved to the point where he can make tight window throws and make you pay like that. Because I know he's better this year numbers-wise, but I also haven't seen them attack down the field yet. I want to see him do it against a good team like Cal.
That's all I want to see. I want to see Justin Herbert against that defense, and it's for Sunday purposes. I'm with you 100% on that. I think we're locked in on the Ducks. All right, our final game, and you're in Gainesville, matched up Auburn at Florida. We, you
give
know, Wednesday.
Give me your pick, bro.
Wednesday, you
give
broke down. Listen, Wednesday, you broke down both sides, and give you want the pick from me. I go home to a Gator wife who's absolutely bananas about her Florida team, and I love her to death. And she, you know, if I say anything nice about the Gators, she's like, "Oh, you don't understand. Don't jinx us." And if I say anything bad about the Gators, it's like, "How can you trash talk us?" I'm like, "I'm just giving you facts, babe. What else you want from me?" But considering she does not listen to this podcast, I'm going with Auburn because I just think Auburn's defense and that defensive front is going to dominate that Florida offensive line.
I don't disagree with you. I think they're going to have a lot of success. I think Trask will have some moments, and I think he's going to show that he's a more accurate passer than people believe, and he's not just a backup that's in the game that's a system guy. I think he's going to show you that he's got a pretty good arm and pretty accurate. But I also think that, you know, Florida has an opportunity at home to show that Bo Nix is a true freshman, you know, that you can make him earn it and make it. Greenard is one of the better linebackers in the country. I can't believe he's been one of the best portal guys that there possibly was this season, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has been sensational for Florida. And I think that they can make life hard on Bo Nix. I think this is a low scoring SEC game that you back in the past where it's, you know, last year the Mississippi State Florida game was 13-6 or 13-7. I think we're going to look at the winner gets possibly in the 20s, and it's going to be good defense, some mistakes by both quarterbacks. But I got to lean towards Auburn and what I've seen from them so far. And more importantly, I think they know who they are offensively now. And I think they can run the football and have a little bit more balance and keep Florida a little bit off guard. And because of that, I think Auburn wins the game.
I love the Pollock setup. He goes all in on explaining a bunch of things about Florida, and then at the end he gives me Auburn. You're just setting me up the entire time. So we are we've made six picks. The only thing that separates us, Michigan versus Iowa. Cannot wait for that matchup. Pollock, you know what? Have a great time with your people, those Florida Gator fans.
Yes, sir. We'll do. I'll tell your wife's people that you should say hello.
I will. Take care, bud. Want to remind our loyal listeners, you can submit questions that Herbie will answer on the next podcast, which is on Monday. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and the best questions will make the air. It's been a fantastic segment we've been doing on Mondays the last couple of weeks. Appreciate Pollock for joining us. Also want to thank our sponsors, Allstate and Dollar Shave Club. Be sure to check out Marty Smith's America this week. He chats with Ryan McGee about their crazy weekend, which started at SEC Nation and included going to the Royal 400 with some SB auction winners. Remember to subscribe to Marty Smith's America and the College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock wherever you get your podcasts. Big thanks to our producers here, Taylor Schwenk and Gabe Bassane. I want to remind you to enjoy college football. It is the best sport around, and we will see you on Monday.